to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, you say, preacher, where is that? Find Revelation, go back a couple books to 1 John. We're going to be in 1 John chapter number 1, talking about abiding in the fellowship. 1 John chapter number 1, and then we're going to read that, pray, and Brother Fred and Brother Gary are going to come and sing for us. 1 John chapter number 1, and verse number 1, the epistle, or the first letter of John. Actually, it's not the first one that he wrote, amen. 1 John, everybody got that? Amen. Found that one. If you found Revelations and you go back, you'll find Jude, 3 John, and 2 John, and 1 John. Very short books. This one is 5 chapters. 1 John chapter number 1. I'm going to have you reading with me here down in verse number 5. But number 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That's Jesus Christ. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Join in with me, verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The Apostle John here talking about fellowship and describing it to us. We're going to talk about abiding in the fellowship today. Father, we thank you so much that we can abide in the fellowship. John is making it crystal clear to us what this fellowship involves and what it does, what it is, and what it is not. Lord, as we look at this today, I pray you would open our hearts, open our minds, that we may contemplate, Lord, and understand the gravity that is here, the seriousness that is here, and Lord, the joy that is here as well of abiding in the fellowship with you. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Use me as your servant today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Forgive me where I have sinned against thee, Lord, and help me to speak thus saith the Lord today. May we leave here with an improved fellowship today. Lord, may we have a renewed fellowship today. And Lord, an ongoing fellowship with you, because you desire us to be in the fellowship as well as the worship that we talked about as well. Bless now in the message. If there's one today without Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they need to get in the relationship first and be born again. And Lord, once they're born again, they can enjoy worship and fellowship with Almighty God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Change us, make us different, make us more into the image of Jesus Christ today. And whatever happens today, Lord, may we leave differently than when we came in. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Brother Fred and Brother Gary are going to have a special for us today.
I've heard of a land of joy and peace and wonderful light. A beautiful place of mansions fair and skies ever bright. Where all who believe the Savior dear forever will stay. And having been saved by grace divine, I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus, the Savior I adore, is with me each day. I'm clinging to Him and never will stray. Yes, singing His praises all day long, I'm going that way. The glorious news I tell and sing as onward I go. For those who are still astray in sin, the Savior may know. I want them to sing His praises above some beautiful day. For glory to Him who died for me, I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus, the Savior I adore, is with me each day. I'm clinging to Him and never will stray. Yes, singing His praises all day long, I'm going that way. I know I shall meet Him at the gate when trials are past. I know I shall meet Him face to face in glory at last. And oh, I believe that when we meet, welcome home He will say. For trusting His soul of redeeming love, I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus, the Savior I adore, is with me each day. I'm clinging to Him and never will stray. Yes, singing His praises all day long, I'm going that way.
Amen. The way is heaven. Amen. I'm glad I'm going that way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm so glad that I found the way, and that way is Jesus. Praise God. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about abiding in the fellowship today. So far, we've talked about the relationship. Got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ first. Want to abide in that. Then we talked about stewardship. We should be a faithful giver of our time and our talents and our treasures. God wants us to give at least 10% at a minimum. Then give an offering as well. Amen. And so we talked about stewardship. Then we talked about the worship, how God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. And so today we're going to embark upon another ship. We'll get to these there slowly, but amen. The fellowship. The fellowship. Amen. We often say we're going to have a fellowship, and we're talking about having some food. Amen. And fellowship doesn't necessarily involve food, by the way. Did you know that? Say, preacher, but food makes the fellowship sweeter. Amen. And it does. Amen. It really does. But the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote 1 John. He also wrote 2 John. He also wrote 3 John. He also wrote the book of Revelation. You say, preacher, he wrote 5 books. He was busy. Yes, he was busy. Amen. But he wrote all of those books. And he wrote 1 John to his little children. You'll find that title several places here. Notice down in chapter number 2. And notice verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you. So you find that phrase used several times here, my little children. You come over to chapter number 3, and notice in verse number 10. Verse number 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. Now you say, is he actually writing to kids or children? No, but he is like a father in the faith to them. And so they are like his children. And so he is writing from that capacity, much like G2 and Joshua grow up and they're 60 years old. Amen. They're 60 years old. You do the math. I'm much older. Amen. And I would still address them as my little children. You say, but they're grown up. They're 60 years old. Amen. They've got their own children, but they're still my little children. Guess what? I talk to my mom. My mom still calls me her little boy. I'm mama's boy. She knows that. Are you still mama's boy? I sure am. Amen. I'm mama's little boy. Amen. Now, there's a caveat there. I was the only boy. And so she, you're my favorite boy. I said, but mom, I'm your only boy. She said, you're still my favorite. Amen. I thought, hey, wait a minute. Why don't you say I'm your favorite kid? Amen. She wouldn't say that. Amen. She said, you're the favorite that was born on February 28th. Amen. So, you know, making sure there was no partiality there. Amen. And so my little children, John is writing to people that he knows and he's familiar with. And so he's writing to his little children to assist them in some areas of concern. One of them was assurance of salvation, along with several other things here. And let me just give you this quick, brief synopsis here. Chapters 1 and 2 focus on fellowship and contrast saying and doing. I can say a whole lot of things. But wait a minute, I need to back it up with some doing. Say, what am I talking about, preacher? Go back to chapter number 1 in 1 John. And in 1 John chapter number 1, notice verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have what? Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So John said, I'm writing, little children, that you can have some fellowship with us, our fellowship with Jesus Christ. But then notice verse number 6. If we say that we have what? Fellowship with him and walk in what? Darkness. We what? Lie and what? Do not the truth. Amen. You say, what do you mean do not the truth? You're not doing the truth. Amen. The truth of the word of God. You're not doing it. Amen. He said, you're lying. Amen. And so chapters 1 and 2 focus on fellowship and contrast saying and doing. Chapters 3 through 5 focus on sonship and give evidence of a true child of God. Go over to chapter 3 with me and notice what he talks about here dealing with our sonship. Give you a sneak preview because we will be in the sonship sooner or later. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the what? Sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we what? The sons of God. He said, now you're a child of God, even now. And it doth not appear, yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He says, so I'm going to talk to you about being a child of God and your sonship. And I want you to know that you are a child of God. Amen. By the way, your parents stressed to you over and over when you were coming up to let you know that you were their child. You say, preacher, how? They called you by your name. Now, I had a nickname. It was called Boy. Boy, go get this. Boy, go get that. Boy, stop doing this. Boy. Now, they never said, well, okay. My mother did say girl to my sisters. Girl, go over and give me this. Girl. So we had two names. We had our given name, but then we were called girl and boy. Boy, stop that. Boy, I'm going to get you. Boy, if you don't stop. Boy, you're going to get it when you get home. Girl, you're going to get it when you get home. Girl, if you ever. Girl, don't say it. Girl, 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 boy, boy, boy. So they wanted us to know that we belonged to them. Although we had generic names, girl and boy, we had given names, Greg, Felicia, Latanya, and Olivia. So we had given names. Amen. John here says, I want you to know that you're a child of God. So he calls them sons of God, little children, over and over again. And so he wants them to know who they are. And by the way, he wanted them to know so much that they were a child of God. Go over to chapter 5 and verse number 13. He wanted them to know that they had eternal life. By the way, if you're saved here, do you think God wants you to know it? Amen. God wants you, the same way your parents want you to know who you are in relation to them, God wants you to know who you are in relation to him. Notice 1 John chapter 5, because John's trying to make this crystal clear to them. Notice verse number 11. And this is the record that God has given to us, what? Eternal life, and this life is in his who? Son. Who is that son? None other than Jesus Christ. Now notice this, he that hath the who? Son hath what? Life. According to verse 11, what kind of life is that? Eternal life. He says, and he that hath not the who? Son of God hath not life. So in other words, he's saying, if you're in this chair and eternal life is in this chair, then you have the Son, you have eternal life. If eternal life is not in this chair and you're in this chair, guess what? You don't have eternal life. Well, if eternal life is here and you're in this chair, you have eternal life. If you're sitting over here, you don't have eternal life. It's just that simple, folks. I don't care where you go in the world today. People either are in Christ or they're not in Christ. It's just that simple. You say, well, I'm halfway in between. There is no such thing. The mom has a baby. Well, how's the baby? Well, they're almost born. They're either almost born. They're either born or they're not born. Amen. The Bible says being born again, not halfway born or not being born. Amen. It says being born again. And so if I'm in this chair, I've got eternal life. If I'm in this chair, I don't have eternal life. He says, I want you to know there's a record. It's eternal life. It's in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John, what else did you want them to know? Notice verse 13. These things have I written unto you. Who's the you? His little children, but also you and I, that believe on the name of the Son of God. Notice this, that ye may what? Know. It doesn't say guess, feel, or hope. Amen. By the way, does it feel good to be saved? Yes. Does it feel good to be out of debt? Yes. But which one gives me eternal life? Saved. Amen. So I can feel good and be out of debt. Amen. But I can also be saved and feel bad in debt. Amen. But guess what? I'm still saved. He says down there, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. John said, I want you to know that you're a son of God. You're a child of God. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So John is letting them know, hey, look, I want you to know that you have eternal life. By the way, it's just that simple. In this room, across this auditorium, every last one of us is either in Christ or we're not in Christ. It's just that simple. Say, preacher, how do I get in Christ? He that hath the Son hath life. How do I get the Son? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how do I call on the name of the Lord? Know that you're in danger and you need to be saved. What danger am I in? The wages of sin is death. Amen. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so once I know I'm in danger, I can call on the Lord to be saved because I know the danger is hell. And once I call on the name of the Lord to be saved, I can come to 1 John, know I'm a child of God, know I'm a son of God, and say, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So John wants his little children to know that they're saved. By the way, do you know you're saved today? If you don't, you need to talk to me after service. Talk to Mrs. Dawson. Talk to one of the deacon's wives or the pastor's wives. Amen. God wants you to know that you're saved. And if you don't know that today, you need to make that crystal clear. Because you cannot be involved in a fellowship with Almighty God if you're not saved. God is an enemy of yours because of your sin. And you've got to get that sin forgiven. You say, well, preacher, I don't like that. God doesn't like sin. That's why Jesus died for it. And so we must be born again. So chapters 1 and 2 focus on fellowship. Contrast saying and doing. Chapters 3 through 5 focus on sonship and give evidence of a true child of God. Let's start off first of all with this fellowship, with the definition of fellowship. I've got Gregory and Joshua coming up here for me here. Come on up here, Joshua and Gregory. I want y'all to sit in those chairs. Now the literal definition of fellowship is this. It's joy, and the figures Joshua got in the chair that's in Christ, amen. So, no, so he did that. He made sure he picked the right. I'm in this chair right here. That one said in Christ. I don't want to be in that other chair over there, amen. The definition of fellowship means this: joint participation. It means partnership. It means communion or communication. It means sharing or the coming together of friends or that are interested in the same things. In other words, fellowship then is an agreement, it's a partnership, it's a communion or communication. The layman's term definition of fellowship is two fellas in a ship. We're going to pretend that Joshua and Gregory are in a ship. The boat ends here at the end of his chair, and the boat ends here at the end of his chair. Now, in this fellowship, they should be in communication. There should be a partnership because Gregory's got one oar on this side. Joshua's got one oar on this side. And in order for them to get to the other side of the lake, they need to row together. What happens if they row opposite of each other? They will go in a circle. Y'all want to go in a circle? No, I don't think so. Amen. Oh, what about here? We've got Gregory over here, and Gregory says, you know what? I'm tired of this fellowship. I'm just going to stop rowing. And Joshua keeps rowing. Guess where they're going to go? In a circle. Well, let's suppose Joshua said, I'm fed up too. I'm not going to row either. Where are they going to go? Nowhere. Gregory gets it. He said, well, yeah, I'll start rowing again. And let's start going. Where are they going to go? In a circle, just the other way. At one instance, they'll be going that way. And the other instance, they'll be going around this way if they stop. And Joshua says, okay, well, I'll give in. I'll row. But he only rows with a little bit of strength. Where are they going to go? Kind of off course a little bit. They won't go in a complete circle because he is giving a little effort, but they'll kind of go around like this a little bit. If they don't both participate and communicate and give in to the fellowship or the two fellows in the ship, if there's not agreement as to what direction they're going in, they're not going to go where they intend to go. And folks, that's how it is with our fellowship. We've got to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to do his part. We don't have to worry about him doing our part. We've got to make sure we're in agreement. Jesus, where do you want to go? How do we get there? How fast do we row? Where do we go? What do we turn at? What do I need to do? If we don't do that, we're not going anywhere. The two fellows in the ship have to agree. And Jesus's communication lines are always open unless there's that thing called sin.
There we go, Pastor. There we go.
And then there's, now we don't know where to go. The fellowship is broken. And guess whose fault it's not? It's not Jesus' fault. He knows what to do. Guess whose fault it is? Stop pointing fingers. It's Joshua's fault. So when you look at fellowship, it's a communication, a communion, a partnership where both parties are getting involved and doing their part. John here is about to write in chapters 1 and 2 about fellowship, and he's going to talk about the importance of our fellowship. And by the way, you and I need to abide in the fellowship. So which direction y'all want to go?
Forward.
Forward, amen. Me and my wife wanted to go forward too. There was a story about me and Mrs. Dawson rowing one day, and we got lost at sea, basically. Although it wasn't a sea, it was on the lake, and we couldn't get back to the shore, amen. But that's just time for another story of rowing, amen. All right, thank you guys, I appreciate this. You can take those chairs and put them back in the foyer there, amen. And they're helping Ms. Lilia in her class there, so they say, when are we going to be done? When I get done with the illustration, amen. But dealing with fellowship, and so it is a partnership or a communion, communication, or sharing together of friends and interested parties in agreement. So that's the definition of fellowship. So whenever you want to think about fellowship, just think about two fellows in a ship. They've got to get along. They've got to agree. They've got to be in union, amen. If not, they're not going to go where they want to go, especially if there's one on this side and one on that side. Now, the one can say, well, you get out of the way and I'll just row myself. Well, do you know where you're going? Amen. And by the way, I remember going fishing with my dad, and my dad would be out there, and man, he'd row that boat. This was before motors came in, amen. And he'd row that boat, and I used to look, and I'm thinking, man, dad's strong. Remember one day, Father, Dad, I can get us back to shore. He said, okay, boy, go ahead. Man, I got to rowing that thing. I must have rowed about 30 feet. Man, I was tired. I thought, man, I got no pectorals. I got no biceps. I said, Dad made it look easy. He just, shoom, shoom, man. We'd go and we're sailing along. I looked down the side. The water was barely moving. I thought, glory to God. And then we're going all crooked. He said, son, steer. I said, I'm trying to steer away from the bank. I'm trying to. Faster. I have no more faster. So I'm slow. My dad got back up there and he, whoo, whoo, whoo. And I thought, man, I can. He makes it look so easy. You know what he had? Experience. Along with muscle. Amen. And then I said, Dad, we need to buy a motor. We need to buy a motor. I said, this rowing is for the birds. Let's get a motor. Amen. I said, why get a motor when I got you? I'm giving out. Amen. Motor, that thing can go. So the definition of fellowship, let's look at the description of fellowship here. The description of fellowship. Go down to chapter number 1 here. We're going to step down here in a few things here and to just kind of explain and try to get an understanding more of this fellowship, what it's about, what it is. The definition of fellowship is partnership communion, communication, sharing together. And that's what our Lord desires for us. But then John begins to give some descriptions or some stipulations about this fellowship. Amen. But before he does that, he gives you a description of some of the fellowship that's going on. Notice what he says in verse number one. I want you to notice here in this description of fellowship in verses 1 and 2, John explains that this is a literal fellowship to consider. It's a literal fellowship. Notice what he says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Hold your finger there and go to the Gospel of John. Because he talks basically about the same thing, the Gospel of John and chapter number 1. And notice what he says back in Gospel of John, chapter number 1, in verse number 14. Matter of fact, let's start in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, without him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now come down to verse number 14. And the Word was made what? Flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Who is John talking about? Us and we, the disciples and others. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. By the way, when they went on the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus was transfigured in front of them, they saw his glory. They were able to see Jesus Christ transfigured in his full-blown glory. And they thought, glory, look at that. That is amazing. And so in 1 John, he's writing, he's saying, look, there's something that you need to know. This is a literal fellowship. We had touched the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you wish you could touch the Lord Jesus Christ sometime? Amen. Let him hold you in his arm like Jesus. John leaned on his chest during the bosom in that Last Supper. Just let him comfort you and console you sometimes when you're going through hardships and hard times. Let him say it's okay. Wouldn't you like to be in the ship when the storm was calm and everything was all calm and they were in there thinking, wow, I'm glad he's on our side. Amen. It's sometimes we just want to handle the Lord Jesus. And John says over here in chapter number 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. He said, this is not something that we heard about. He says, we have heard. We have seen. It's not something that someone saw with somebody else's eyes. We've seen with our eyes. He said, which we have looked upon. These were our eyes, our hands, handled the word of life. John lets you know we had literal fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. He said, Jesus Christ, we've seen him and we're bearing witness of him being eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested on us. So as John is writing here, he's letting you know, this is not something that we heard about. This is something we know about. This is something we personally experience. You know, you can get people to talk about salvation, but nobody can talk about salvation unless they've been saved. They may talk of it, talk around it, describe it, but unless you've been born again, you don't have no idea what it's about, amen? But you let somebody's really been born again, somebody's really been saved, man, they can talk about the experience. They can talk about what happened. They can talk about how they became a new creature in Christ. They can talk about how they were sinner, and their sins were forgiven, how they felt that weight go off of them. They can talk about it. John says, you know what? We've seen this. There's a literal fellowship to consider, John is saying. But then number 2, John says that there's a lateral fellowship to consider. He said, we've heard these things. We've seen these things. We handled Jesus Christ. But then notice this lateral fellowship to consider. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. He said, we've heard some things. We're declaring this unto you. What's the reason, John? That ye also may have fellowship with us. John said, we want you to have what we have. We want you to have that communion. We want you to have that partnership. We want you to have that agreement. We want you to be in that same ship that we're in. We saw it. We heard it. We touched it. We had him. And now it's spiritual. You can have him too. You can have him too. By the way, when you and I get saved, we enter into that fellowship. We enter into that fellowship. John says, you know what? We physically saw it.
We physically touched him. We physically heard him. This is not make-believe. And he says, now I want you to be able to have that same fellowship. John says there can be a lateral fellowship with Jesus. You and I need fellowship with God and one another. Notice what he says again in 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So John said, you know what? The same fellowship that we experience, you can have. Think about it. You and I can fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can fellowship with the same Jesus that Paul had. We can fellowship with the same Jesus that John touched. We can fellowship with the same Jesus that Peter touched. We can fellowship with the same Jesus that James heard. We can fellowship with the same Jesus who created the world and the earth and everything that was. We can fellowship with the same Jesus. We can be in that communion with him. And by the way, if we're going to worship him, we've got to be in fellowship with him. So John explains there's a literal fellowship to consider. We actually handle Jesus Christ. Then he says there's a lateral fellowship to consider. There can be a lateral fellowship with Jesus Christ. You and I can fellowship with him the same way they did. We can't touch Jesus Christ. We can't see him directly with our eyes. We can't handle him like they did. But we can still have fellowship and communion with him by his word and by the Holy Spirit of God. And we can still have that same type of fellowship. I don't know about you, but when I was convicted the day that I got saved, I could feel God looking directly at me. And it was as if there was no one else in that room except me and God Almighty. And it was as if, as I was sitting in my chair, I was on a judgment chair. And at any moment, that chair was going to fall through the floor and I was going to hell. That's how real it felt. I didn't see who was there. I didn't care who was there. I saw the preacher preaching, and for all I could care, he was God preaching right to my heart. And if I didn't get right with God that day, I was going to hell. I had a literal feeling about that. John says there's a literal fellowship to consider. There's a lateral fellowship to consider. But I like this. John explains there's a lifting fellowship to consider. Verse number 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. He said, there's a lifting fellowship to consider. Your joy can be filled. It can be full. It can be overflowing. There can be lifting fellowship with Jesus Christ. Go over to 2 John chapter number 1 and verse number 12. And notice what he says in 2 John chapter number 1. 2 John chapter 1 and notice verse number 12. He says down there, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face. Notice this, that our joy may be what? Full. He says, I want fullness of joy. Jesus can give us a lifting fellowship. Come over to the Gospel of John and notice what he writes over there. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive. Notice this, that your joy may be full. So he said, you know what? There is a fullness of joy that comes when you're in fellowship. He says, look, there is a literal fellowship. We handle Jesus Christ. There's a lateral fellowship. We want to pass it over to you. And he says, if I can pass this over to you and you can be in communion with Christ like I am, your joy will be full. By the way, if you're in communion with Jesus Christ, your joy will be full. You cannot be in communion with Jesus Christ and not have fullness of joy. You cannot. Now, I'm not talking about happy. Happy is ha, 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 ha. And happy begins, talks about happiness. We went to the Pima County Fair. That was happy. You go on a ride, wee, woo, and you get off the ride, guess what happens? Okay, right back to normal now. Get on another ride, wee, wee, and you get on that free fall, the thing that just drops straight down. Man, that's like 10 seconds of sheer wow. That thing drops down, boom. You're like, ah! You get off and it's over. And then you see the line that you got to stand in. And your fullness of joy is gone. To ride that again, I got to go stand in the line. I've got no more joy. See, joy is from within. Happiness comes from happenings. And when the happenings are bad, guess what? My happiness is sad. But when Jesus is in He brings joy from my fellowship because I'm communing with him. Even going to the cross, he had joy. Even going to the cross. And it wasn't a ha 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 ha, but it was a contentment that Jesus knew that everything was under control. You know, do we have that same kind of joy that we know everything's under control? Jesus, I mean, the waves are beating around us. The waves of life are going this way and that way. And we can say it's okay. That's joy. I was talking about in Sunday school. Our garbage disposal had broken down and I had to get it fixed somehow. And I didn't seem to have joy about that. But if I had prayed and thought on Jesus, guess what? I could have had fullness of joy. If I had just thought on Jesus. I said, Jesus, this is going to be okay, isn't it? And he said, yeah, it's going to be okay. And guess what? It was okay. But I just didn't pray about it. So John said, look, we had literal fellowship back there. But I'm writing to you to let you know you can have that same fellowship as my little children where you're at right now. And I want to let you know that not only can you have that same fellowship, but you can have a fullness of joy in that fellowship. By the way, the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says in Galatians, is love what? Joy. The fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So John explains there's a literal fellowship to consider. He said, we've seen it. We've handled. We had literal fellowship with Jesus. There's a lateral fellowship to consider. He said there can be fellowship with Jesus the same way that we had it, but it's just not physical, it's spiritual. Then he's explaining there's a lifting fellowship to consider. Your joy can be full if you do that. Go back to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. And again, with this fellowship in chapter number 1, he lets you know something. There's a luminous fellowship to consider. Notice down there in verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. John said, you know what? There's a literal fellowship to consider, a lateral fellowship. We want you to have it. It's a lifting fellowship to consider. Your joy will be full if you have it. But there's a luminous fellowship to consider. He says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Let me share with you a few things about light. What light is to the natural eye, God is to the spiritual eye. Now think about it. We have light in here so that we can see. Brother Gary, turn that light off. And Shane, turn this one on. God is light. What God is to the natural eye, a light is to the natural eye. God is to the spiritual eye. Can you read your Bible right now? You need the light of God. You need your spiritual eyesight. You need God to direct you. You can barely see the person next to you. You can barely see your hand in front of you. God is light, John said. He said, now, if God is light, God is light is to the natural eye what God is to our spiritual eye. So he lets them know, this is the message. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. By the way, there's darkness in here. And if the truth be known, and I've said this before, if you stay in darkness enough, your lights will adjust to it. I mean, your eyes will adjust to it. And you'll be able to use the minuscule lights that you have, like the exit sign, like the red lights up here, the exit sign in the back, the light coming in from outside, the red light over here on my left. You'll be able to use the little light that you have to make out shapes, to make out figures, to make out things. And your eyes will get accustomed to the darkness, such as are many that are unsaved. They have become accustomed to the darkness, and they think they see very, very well. But they actually cannot see at all. Turn the light back on. John said there's a literal fellowship to consider. There's a lateral fellowship. There's a lifting fellowship. There's a luminous fellowship to consider. God is light. And what light is to the natural eye, that God is to the spiritual eye. Light allows us to see. Light exposes dirt. My boys were cleaning the bathroom yesterday. And there's a window that's on the other side of the room. And when the bathroom door is closed, it's dark inside there. But when you open that door, the light shines into the bathroom. And when the light shines in the bathroom, you can see all the little dust particles on the floor. And they said, we vacuumed the floor. And of course, you know what I did. I opened the door so the light could shine in. I said, what is that down there? They said, stuff. I said, I thought you said you vacuumed. We did. And you know what I said? Make sure you vacuum with light. Why? Light exposes dirt. I said, make sure you got some light on it. You cannot vacuum in the dark. You cannot see anything. You ever been in a room where you can see from the angle of the sun rays, the particles floating around, the dust particles floating around? And with a natural eye, you can't see that unless the sunlight is coming through at a certain angle, at a certain direction. And you see all the little fuzzies that float, that land on your furniture, that land on the things around you. And you can see that. What am I saying? Light exposes dirt. Amen. We've got a wall unit at home. It's got a glass cabinet on it. And you can't see the dirt until you turn the light on and then move an item. And when you move an item and turn the light on, guess what you see? A clean spot. You know what everything else is? Dusty. You say, dirty, preacher. I like to call it dust. Put some water on it, it might turn to something else, though. Amen. But I like to call it dust, amen. You might call it dirt. So light allows us to see, it exposes dirt. It allows us to drive better. It takes away fear of night. Light drives out darkness, but guess what? Darkness can't drive out light. Amen. I don't care what you do, darkness cannot drive out light. Light has to go away. But guess what? When light comes on the scene, light drives away darkness, but darkness cannot drive away light. Light has to vacate. It has to leave before the darkness will come in. It's amazing. Something else about light. Do you know you can't defile light? You can't make light dirty no matter how hard you try. Now, it'll expose all your dirt, but you cannot make light itself dirty. The things that are guarding light can be dirty and can shine through that. But guess what? The light still is exposing, and the light is not defiled at all. Light always gets through. It's amazing. Light drives out darkness, but darkness can't drive out light. Light is never defiled. You cannot defile light. God is light. The light of wisdom, the light of love, the light of holiness, the light of glory. God's light is shining. Light and darkness are never in fellowship with each other. They're never in fellowship. So if I've got darkness in the ship, and if I've got light in the ship, guess what? Darkness has got to go out. They cannot occupy the same space. One has got to go. And John said down here, this then is the message which we have heard of him. I declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Go over to John chapter 3 with me. John chapter number 3. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. John chapter 3. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus here. Notice what Jesus says about the light. John chapter 3 verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love what? Darkness rather than light. And again, light and darkness can't occupy the same space. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. There's a crude example that I've used before. When I was growing up, my dad had to go in and fix apartment complexes. I would go into some apartment complexes and turn the light on. And when the house was filthy, the roaches would be out. As soon as you flip the light on, guess what? The roaches would, they would hide. But you go into some places, and the roaches didn't care. They're just as bold. You flip the light on, they come look at you like, turn the light back off, please. They were bold. And you go to step on them, they wouldn't run away. They'd run towards you. And you're thinking, is he serious? I got a size 9. Look how big you are. I'll step on you. And it doesn't dawn on you that they got wings, they can fly. I mean, you get some big ones, they can fly. I thought, okay, I don't want to mess with you. But what happens? They got accustomed to the light. And they had no problem staying out in the light. And they weren't bothered by the light. And that's how it is with some people. They're in total darkness. And the light of Jesus Christ doesn't bother them at all. They're okay in their sin. And John is saying here, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. I don't know about you, the day that I got saved, I felt the darkness of my heart being exposed by the light of Jesus Christ. And as the light shone on my heart, God showed me how sinful I was. And I need to be saved. I don't know about you, but I said, I got to do something about this. I don't like this feeling. And part of me said, if I could just get out of this church, I'll never come back again. But another part of me said, I want to know what it means to be saved. I want to know what it means to be born again. I don't want to keep living like this. I don't want to keep running from the Bible. I don't want to keep running from Christians. I don't want to keep running from church. I don't want to keep running from God. I don't want to keep running from this conviction. I don't want to keep running every time I hear this word about being saved. I'm afraid of that because I fear that I'm not saved. And lo and behold, I wasn't saved. On February 3rd, 1991, I said, I'm tired of running from the light. If God is light, and if he's exposed my darkness, then I need to let that light in. And guess what? February 3rd, 1991, Jesus Christ came in, and the darkness went out. And I got saved. My wife got saved that day. We became sons of God. John said, I'm writing that you can have fellowship with us. Our fellowship with Jesus Christ. And he said, and truly, your joy can be full. There's a literal fellowship here. There's a lateral fellowship. There's a lifting fellowship. Your joy can be full. But there's a luminous fellowship to consider. God is light, and him is no darkness at all. Darkness and light never fellowship together. When light goes out, darkness comes in. I wonder today, looking at John chapter 3, where are you at? Verse number 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. There are some people who don't even want to come to church. They say, if I go to church, it's going to burn down. If I go to church, it's going to fall down. I don't want to go to church. You know why? Light is getting off at church. The light is talked about at church. The light is preached at church. And the light's job is to expose darkness. It's to expose dirt. It's to turn on in the wall unit. It's to remove that item and see the dirt. It's to let the rays flow through and see in the air, the things floating around in there. Light's job is to expose that which is there. My Bible says God is light, Jesus is light. Or do you appear in verse number 21 of John chapter number 3? But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. See, we're either in light or darkness today. We're either saved or we're lost today. We're in fellowship or out of fellowship today. We have a literal fellowship, a lateral fellowship, and a luminous fellowship, and a lifting fellowship, or we don't. John is writing to his little children and said, I'm concerned about you. I want you to understand what this is all about. You may not be the most knowledgeable, but this one thing I want you to be knowledgeable about, your fellowship and your sonship. I want you to know that you're a child of God. I want you to know that if you're a child of God, there's fellowship to consider. And if you're a child of God, there's some things that you need to put under your hat and understand. I have handled Jesus Christ. I have seen Jesus Christ. I have heard Jesus Christ. And we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we want you to have fellowship with us the same way. It's not physical like we have, but it's spiritual. It's not physical like we have, but it is eternal. It's not physical, but it is joy-filled. And he says, you can have that. But he says, God is light. And in those, there's no darkness at all. Next week, we're going to continue looking at the remainder of this chapter. But today, the definition of fellowship, joint participation. Are you participating with Jesus Christ in fellowship? Do you have communion with him? Are you talking with him? Are you praying to him? Are you seeking him? I've got to be honest, sometimes I jump out of the ship. Sometimes I don't do my part. Sometimes I stop rowing. Sometimes I say, Lord, I don't like this direction that we're going. And so if I don't row, we won't get there. We'll just turn around in circles. And I stay in my stew. And sometimes, I just don't want to do it. And you know where I go? In the circle. In the circle. But the minute I pick up my part, the minute I start saying, Lord, where are we going? Forward. We start going. Okay, Greg, a little to the right. Okay, ease up some, Greg. A little to the left. Oh, wait, Greg, reverse. We got to go backwards some. Got to go back. Got to do this again. You know, we don't go back to Jesus Christ. Guess what? We look on circles. And sometimes the fellowship for me is not as sweet and joy-filled as it could be.
John said, hey, there's a description of fellowship. It's literal. We had it. It's lateral. You can have it. It's lifting. You'll have joy in it. It's luminous, but God is light. And there's no darkness at all. Next week, he's going to say, if you say you have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, he says, you're lying. You're not doing the truth. I must admit, my fellowship needs to improve. How about you today? Maybe you don't need to improve in the fellowship. Maybe you need to get in the relationship and get saved. Are you saved today? If you die right now, are you sure you go to heaven? You should be, and you can be sure. He said, these things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know that you're a child of God. And once you know that, you can have fellowship with the King of Kings. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. I ask you the question, with every head bowed and every eye closed, are you saved today? If you died right now, are you sure that heaven is your home? Are you a child of God? I'm not asking you if you got baptized. I'm not asking you if you joined the church. I'm not asking you if you're a good or a bad person. I'm not asking you if you sin. I'm asking you, have you been born again? With every head bowed and every eye closed when looking around, if you're not 100% sure that heaven is your home, if you're not 100% sure that if you died this minute, you would go to heaven, I'm concerned for you, and you should be concerned for yourself. I want to pray for you today. If you're not sure that you're going to heaven, why don't you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, we're looking around. I see one hand. You may put it down. Is there another? I'm concerned. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned. Pray for me, preacher. Is there another? Well, Christian, this is to you. If you are saved, Christian, then that means you're in a fellowship. Now, what type of fellowship you're having is going to be up to you. We know that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So he's not going to change. But how's your fellowship? Is it a joyful fellowship? Is it a luminous fellowship? Is he pointing out the things that are wrong? Is it a lateral fellowship? Do you have a part in that? If not, Christian, you need to do your part and abide in the fellowship. If you raise your hand saying you're not saved, at the conclusion of my prayer, I'd like to help you to get saved. But you have to come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Father, you know the hearts that are exposed here by the light of the Word of God. You know the hands that have been raised. And I pray for this one that raised their hand, Lord, that you would show them the light of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. But then the Christians that are already in the fellowship, help their fellowship to be sweet. Help it to be literal fellowship, but a lateral fellowship. They are doing their part. A lifting fellowship. They may have joy. But Lord, a luminous fellowship. You point out to us what's wrong and help us to fix it by the power of God. Thank you for John's love for his little children. Thank you that we have the opportunity to read it. And bless in this invitation and do what you do best. Expose our lives and help us to do business with thee. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. As Natasha plays the hymn of invitation, God spoke in your heart about your fellowship in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar? You know, I've got to admit within my own heart, my fellowship is not as sweet as it could be or should be. I don't always do my part. I don't always have this lateral fellowship feel. Sometimes I feel like quitting. I don't want to do my part. Sometimes I don't have the lifting fellowship. The joy is not there because I'm not obedient. So
Sometimes the luminous fellowship is there. God is trying to expose, and I'm trying to cover up. Sometimes my ship is going around in circles. Sometimes I'm not doing my part the way I should. Give over to the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, hey, we're writing to you that your joy may be full. John said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John said, we declare unto you that ye may have fellowship with us. How about it, Christians? Improve your fellowship today. Say, Lord, I'm going to abide in the fellowship. I'm going to make it sweeter. I'll make it richer. I'm going to make it more abundant. I want my joy to be full. How about it, Christian? You're here today without Jesus Christ. You raise your hand saying you're not sure that heaven is your home. Would you like to get it settled today? We have people standing by that can help you be saved. Would you like that? You raise your hand this morning saying, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. You'd like to do something about it. We can help you today. Would you like that? Would you like that? Christians will pray. Let God speak to your heart. May God speak to your heart. It's a real fellowship. Literally. It's a ladder of fellowship. We can do our part. It's a lifting fellowship. Our joy can be full. It's a luminous fellowship. God will expose. Because God is light. And there is no darkness at all. But my question is to you. You raise your hand and say you want to be saved. Let's take a Bible and say you want to be saved. You like that today? If you would, just step out from where you're at. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed while looking around. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Man, woman, boy, or girl, wherever you're at. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. It's got to be your decision. Would you like that? Christians, let's abide in the fellowship. Father, we thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I do want to abide in the fellowship more fully and completely. What we've seen down through the epistle that John wrote to his little children, that he's concerned about them. And he wants to manifest to them this literal fellowship that he actually had with you. And he lets them know that they can have it too. And not only can they have it, we can have it too. Not only can we have it, but we can have our joy meter full. Lord, at the same time, we have to realize it's a luminous fellowship. You will expose things that are not pleasing to enable us to continue to have fellowship with you. God, work in our lives, work in our hearts, and help us to leave here with a joy-filled fellowship, with a luminous fellowship, a literal fellowship. That others that will see us will know that we have been with Jesus Christ. Lord, may we meet back tonight. May we bring that same joyful fellowship with us. To want to hear your word. Thank you for sustaining us. Burden the heart of the one that is questioning and seeking salvation and expose to them what they need to do. And Lord, save them before they leave today. We thank you again and love you for being our God and our Savior. And Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Pastor White's got our closing announcements. Good to see that he's gotten better since yesterday. Amen.